Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 234, recorded November 10th, 2011. Call of Duty. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Carbonite Online Backup. Automatic, continual, and unlimited backup for your computer files. Only $59 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com and use the offer code WINDOWS to get 2 bonus months with purchase. And by GoToAssist Express. GoToAssist Express by Citrix puts IT professionals in position to do what they do best. Access, diagnose, and resolve. Try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToAssist.com/Windows. And by Ford, featuring voice-activated Sync App Link. Now you can control select smartphones with your voice, so you keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Check it out in the 2012 Ford Fiesta and at Ford.com/technology. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show that covers Microsoft Windows, but no, you know, we really misnamed this show. It's everything Microsoft, Xbox 360, Enterprise, BPOS, all of that stuff. And ladies and gentlemen, here they are, the stars of our show. On the left, in the black trunks, weighing in at God only knows, Mr. Paul Thurrott, editor-in-chief of the Supersite for Windows. On the right, the wonderful Mary Jo Foley, writer about Microsoft at ZDNet blogs, all about Microsoft.com. Hello, kids. Welcome to episode 234 of Windows Weekly. Paul, Mary Jo, how you doing? Good to see you.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
Yes. Yeah. We were talking about games. Paul hasn't had much sleep.
I should mention up front.
Yes.
If I suddenly disappear in a flash, it's because I'm running Windows 8. Which is not advisable. It's just
a
demo.
You mean this
preview.
Call? You're on Windows 8 on this call?
Yes.
Wow.
If I do reboot suddenly, then that will be the last time I do that. But
wow, that's
I just
cool.
Want, you know,
that's a good
yeah,
test.
Yeah, well, sort of. I mean, so I've been having some reliability issues, let's say. I just wanted to reiterate for everyone who's reading along on the site that, you know, it's a developer preview, so
it's
you should expect
it's
that.
It's a developer preview. But I think it's good. I mean, this is literally eating your own, well, not literally eating your own dog food, because I don't think there is.
It tastes like it, yeah.
It may taste like it, but there is no actual.
It's being shoveled down my throat. Yeah, whatever.
You know, we have visitors today from Dedham
really?
In our studio. Yeah. Isn't that nice?
Anybody I know?
Do you know Paul personally? Have you run into him in the 7-Eleven? No, they say they don't know you. The Dunkin' Donuts. Do you drink Dunkin' Donuts coffee, Paul?
I do.
Really? Do you guys drink Dunkin' Donuts coffee?
It's a birthright, Leo.
He lives there, he says. See, this is what I don't get, is the people who drink Dunkin' Donuts coffee seem to have this impression it's actually good coffee.
Well, people who drink Starbucks coffee probably feel the same way about that overly bitter schlock that they sell. So.
I think, in fact, doesn't Dunkin' Donuts, in a massive stroke of hyperbole, on the box, on the beans, when you buy them in the grocery store, say, in fact, the world's best cup of coffee? I believe they do.
I'm not seeing the hyperbole. Is there another sentence?
That's it, right there.
I think Dunkin' Donuts tastes better in Massachusetts.
It must
as well.
Be.
It's like drinking Guinness in Ireland. You know, it's,
exactly.
It's about the water.
I remember taking Abby back to my college reunion in Connecticut some years ago, and the one thing she wanted to do was stop at a Dunkin' Donuts.
Sure.
And she didn't understand the appeal after she did it. She said, why?
Well, no, it's all what you're used to.
Right.
And what you grew up on. You know, tonight I'm going to go to, actually the guys from Dedham will enjoy this. Tonight I'll be in Tahiti, which is a local Chinese food place.
Okay.
If you didn't grow up in Dedham, you would never go to Tahiti. Tahiti's terrible Chinese food.
Well, the name kind of gives something away.
But I grew up here, so to me this is like comfort food.
Do you guys eat at Tahiti Chinese food? They do. They do. So they really are Dedhamites.
It's terrible.
Dedicated Dedhamites. It's terrible Chinese food. But... it's ours.
But I'm gonna shovel it down like it was God's gift.
It's wicked good
tonight.
Wicked good.
Yep.
So Paul and Mary Jo, we got some stuff to talk about. Windows Phone 7.5 retail launch coming.
I guess there was an event. What does it mean? What are you laughing at?
I guess there was.
What does it mean to have Windows Phone 8? Is it really Windows 8 inside? Right. We're going to talk about Barnes & Noble because they're peeved, a little peeved. And I, the big story, I really think, is, and Mary Jo, I know, broke this yesterday. First, early in the day, Adobe dumps Flash on the mobile platform. Then, in a
shocker, you were talking about the spell checking in IE 10.
No, that scandal too.
I was all over that.
But no, some news on Silverlight. It clarifies something that we were wondering at the last.
Oh, Silverlight. Silverlight.
That's a story, yes. I believe.
But yes, it is.
Let's kick things off with Windows Phone 7.5. You both were in New York this week.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Yep. Anything else?
That's it. You were there. You were in New York.
We saw a big phone, a really big phone.
We got to ride in a pedicab.
Ooh.
Oh, we did. Yeah.
Microsoft branded pedicab?
Yes.
Yes. I have the pictures and the movie
to
prove it.
The one I was in was going the wrong way down Broadway, which is a little
frightening. The guy I was riding with saw which way you went. He said, screw those guys, we're leaving. And then he took a left.
Did you get a t-shirt that said, I went to a Microsoft event and all I got was this lousy pedicab ride? Why pedicab ride? What's the deal with that?
There was sort of a moment of, I don't know what to call this. You know, we're not supposed to accept gifts and forth. And right. As we hop in the pedicab, the Microsoft person hands you an envelope.
Uh-oh.
And then it takes off.
Oh,
and I
dear.
Thought, well, maybe this is like, this must be a voucher or
There's
something.
Cash.
There was a $20 bill inside.
No.
It. And so the guy turns around.
Not only was it cash. It was like $20. It was a sawbuck, so a fin, whatever.
The guy who was riding the cab said, "Are you a journalist?" And I said, "I was until I accepted this bribe."
a lousy bribe.
I didn't know what it was.
Oh my God! Was that for the pedicab?
I just gave him the whole. I said, "Here, this is for you." Apparently, I'm not taking this. I said, I assume this is enough. I don't know.
Did you also get an unmarked envelope, Mary Jo, from the folks at Microsoft?
Yep, I did.
I think a scandal is brewing.
Yes.
I know.
Well, they're just, you know, we could have walked. What they had was this Windows Phone retail launch event over
Moving so quick. It was like, follow that pedicab.
Quick!
I know. And then we just had to go over to Macy's, which, you know, is like a short walk. But instead, they threw us all in pedicabs, which was nice. So you didn't have to walk. But, I mean, suddenly, you know, we're all like being sped away.
I love New York because Mary Jo and I have this running thing. I go to New York and Mary Jo always says to me, well, you know where that is. It's right. You know, and I have no idea.
It's uptown. It's downtown.
I've been to New York 150 times. Yeah. I have no idea where anything is. But I got out of Penn Station and I hopped in a regular cab to go to the event. And I said, he said, where are you going? And I said, the New Yorker Hotel. And he stopped and he said, get out.
What?
And I'm like, what?
What?
He says, it's right around the corner. You don't need to take a cab. I'm like, okay. I feel like such a jerk.
That is unheard of. Normally, he would take you for a ride uptown, downtown, all around town. Yeah. He said, yeah, we'll get there by way of Harlem. Wow. He said, get out. It's right there.
It was funny.
That's very funny. I love that, actually. That's a great story. So the event, I remember the first Windows Phone 7 event where the Steve Ballmer and they had 7 or 8 handsets. Was it like that or what was it like?
Yeah, I guess this was this year's version, right? Because they do an event every year called Open House. And last year's Open House was where they had the launch event essentially. And this year, that was essentially the Open House, right? The thing we went to?
Ah.
Would you say, Mary Jo?
Yeah, it was same time as the Open House, but not exactly the same event, I guess.
Yeah, not the same venue and all that. But it was the U.S. retail launch of phones. And on the day of the event, on Monday, that included two phones from Samsung on AT&T.
Okay.
Samsung Focus S and Flash. And one HTC device on T-Mobile, the Radar. And then coming on the 20th now, we just found out, is the HTC Titan. And that's that humongous, I think it's like 4.7-inch screen phone. It's so
quite aptly named.
Yeah, and then we know that Nokia should be launching the U.S. at CES.
Ah, in January. Good. We'll have something to talk about. Will you come to CES then, Paul? I think you'll have to.
I need to. Yeah, there's a lot happening. So
good.
Yeah,
I'll do Windows Weekly from CES then. Mary Jo, you'll be there, of course.
No, I will not.
You will not.
No, remember, I hate Las Vegas. I'm not going.
Well, everybody hates Las Vegas. That's no excuse.
But I hate it. I hate it so much. I make a point of not going.
Oh wow. Well, I guess you could join us via Skype, and we'll just tell you all the great things you're missing.
Thank you.
Well, I'll do it in a casino so you can hear that background din. Remember why you didn't want to come to Vegas.
So the Samsung Focus S, I have a Samsung Focus. Is this the Galaxy S equivalent or the Galaxy S2 equivalent of the Focus?
I'm not sure which it's the equivalent of because I'm not that familiar with the Android phones, but I would say that the Samsung Focus S is the successor to the Focus.
Right.
It is a big screen
Bigger
device.
Screen.
It's very thin.
Good.
It's I have one. I don't know if I can... If this will communicate anything about it.
Oh, no, it does. That looks just like a Galaxy. Let me see the back. Is it textured on the back?
It's very thin, yes.
Yeah, that's the same as the Galaxy S2.
Okay.
Right there.
So probably very similar specs, I would imagine.
Dual core, 1.2.
Yeah, I would say that it's interesting. Lately, I've changed what I care about the most on these phones because they're all getting very similar. And what I really care about now is the camera. And I'd have to say, this camera is decent. It's not great. Like, the iPhone 4S camera is great.
It is great.
And I think the HTC Titan camera is great based on just a limited amount of testing. So,
is this 8 megapixels?
Yes.
All right. I think it's the same. Yeah, I think it's
good.
The same
it's very good.
Oh, wait a minute. Captain Murphy in our chat room is saying there aren't any dual core Windows phones. This is not a dual core.
It's not a dual. That's right.
Okay.
That's true.
Okay.
I believe it's a 1.4 or 1.5, somewhere there.
Faster processor speed might be more valuable than dual core.
Well, it is a Windows phone because, first of all, Windows phone performs great, even on very low-end chipsets. So
do all
phones. There's no real need yet. So that's, I guess, a convenient way of saying we don't have dual core, but we don't. You know, that's such an artificial thing to worry about because you don't really gain any advantage on Windows phone. So, and there's no disadvantage to not having it.
Do you want to see the HTC radar?
Yeah, you have it?
Yeah, that one's very pretty, actually.
See it.
Ooh.
It's white and silver.
That's very pretty.
It's very pretty.
That looks like
really
the Lumia
phone.
The Lumia a little bit, the Lumia 800 a little bit. Is that a 4-point?
It has a front-facing camera.
Oh. Ooh. That's
nice. All the devices we've seen in the U.S. so far have front-facing cameras.
Unlike the Nokia.
And while no one was admitting this up front, the consensus seems to be that this Nokia phone or the set of Nokia phones we get will have it as well.
Sure they will. Yeah. Sure they will.
That didn't occur to me until later, though, was that for all of the angst over front-facing cameras, there's no app on these phones that takes advantage of a front-facing camera. So
there's no Tango. There's no
Tango apps? Just came out.
Okay.
So Tango
did
come out this week.
So that will.
No, I know, but it doesn't come on the phone.
Right.
So it's not. There's no software in the phone when you get it.
Tango's nice because that's completely cross-platform. So you can call an iPhone, an Android phone, or a Windows phone.
Yeah, but I think of Tango as a stopgap until Skype arrived.
I agree. I agree.
And I heard nothing.
And there was
about
no
Skype.
Word on Skype, right?
Yeah, no word at all. No. I mean, nothing. Not even don't worry, it's coming. I think CES would be the obvious place to at least show it. You know, even if it's just a early version, but we didn't hear anything about Skype.
No. I mean, earlier this year they said there would be a Skype client for Windows Phone 7 before the end of this calendar year. But I don't think anything like that's RTM'd, or if it has, they haven't said
I've
it
heard
has.
Nothing about this, yeah. Mm.
You know, I actually used Skype on an iPhone to make a video call while I was driving somewhere last week.
Sounds safe.
Well, I have a clip. I have a clip. So I had the phone clipped into the clip on the dashboard.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, I mean, I wasn't looking at the guy, but it was interesting that on 3G, I was actually able to make a video call.
Wow.
It did drop off at one point, and the guy called me back immediately. It was Rick Salmon, the photographer, because he was afraid I got in an auto wreck.
Sure.
Dropped like that, right? But that's, I said, no, it's not an auto wreck. It's the iPhone.
I've had pretty good success using services like Spotify and Pandora over 3G on both Verizon and AT&T.
It's
actually
kind of impressive.
You put it in the car and, yeah, it works pretty well.
Yeah. It's kind of amazing. All right. So,
The other thing we didn't hear we should bring up is no word on new phones on Verizon or Sprint either.
Yeah, and literally nothing on Sprint, right? So Verizon was a big topic of discussion, and the consensus there, and this includes some people from Microsoft, is it is happening. You know, Verizon seems to do things on their own schedule and whatever. So Verizon is absolutely happening. I would imagine Sprint is too, but we heard zip. There was no mention of
T-Mobile.
T-Mobile's out with that.
That's the
phone.
Radar. That's the Radar.
Yeah, the one I have is T-Mobile. Yep.
That's a pretty phone. I like the Radar.
It is. It's a really, really nice phone. Paul tried to grab it out of my hand.
I tried desperately to steal it from her, but I just want one of everything.
Yeah.
But did you ever get it to work? I know you were having problems with the SIM.
Oh, it didn't work?
I had some SIM issues when I first tried to get it to work, but it's working now.
Okay. Because if you send it here, I could probably get it working.
Now, the one that's really kind of... I'm sure Paul could make it work. You want to give him a shot?
I'm all about helping.
Yes. It's all about helping. I think that the one that's going to get the most attention, though, is the Titan, just because it's such a different form factor. That's a big... It's like the
It is a big phone. But there's a couple of things to that. So one of the other devices, you know, the Samsung Focus Flash... is a very small phone. It's actually, it's funny, it looks teeny, but then you bring it home and it's roughly the same size as an iPhone 4S. But
which looks teeny compared to today's phones.
Yeah, it's got tapered edges, so it looks even smaller.
Yeah.
But the Titan is humongous. Now, I happen to be a big guy, so I think that phone would actually be okay for someone like me because I have really big hands and whatever. But the interesting side effect of using a phone with a really big screen is that you get really used to it. And not just the size of the text and the on-screen elements, but also the size of the on-screen keyboard, which is a really big deal on touch phones. And once you get used to that kind of a phone, you know, you go back to an iPhone 4S. In fact, one of the things I was struggling with just before this call was the on-screen keyboard on the iPhone 4S. All of a sudden, it's real cramped. You know, it makes it very hard to...
I hardly use it. I use Siri because I just cannot... I've never been able to type on an iPhone. I've always hated the iPhone keyboard.
Well, I've always been able to kind of single finger it, you know, I'm not
getting bigger, Paul. You're growing. You're a growing boy.
Hopefully not. But it's just, you know, I think I always thought there was kind of a, or not always thought, but recently, especially in reviewing the iPhone 4S, I sort of thought there's a sweet spot for these screen sizes. And now I'm not so sure because I think there's a big market for people who want the really small phone.
I agree. There's a variety.
It's almost like a candy bar kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And then for other, you know, some people, though, they want to use it like a computer almost. And they are going to be typing. And for those people... maybe a bigger screen device would make a lot more sense. So.
No, that's for me. The reason I like a bigger phone is I use it somewhat like a computer. Exactly.
Yeah.
I want it to be a computer in my pocket. So a bigger screen, easier typing, all of that makes sense for me.
Yeah, so I'm definitely going to grab a Titan when I can and just see. And in very informal tests ahead of time, I was able to compare a Titan that Tom Warren had next to the iPhone 4S and with the Samsung GoFocus X. And I would say, you know, and again, we just took a couple of shots with it and different, you know, just turned it around a little bit. And the clarity of the pictures from the Titan were actually on par with those on the iPhone 4S. So if you're holding out for a Windows Phone handset that has that quality, which I am, that might be one you might want to look at.
Yeah.
Maybe we should tell Brandon to get Leo the Titan.
Maybe that's what Brandon was waiting. I'm sure he's waiting for this event. Haven't heard from Bradley, but Bradford.
Brandy.
I haven't heard from him. But, yeah, actually, that might be the one. And I have a T-Mobile SIM I could pop in there. So that might be one to try. What I think is interesting is the first generation Windows Phone 7 really were fairly uniform devices, except for the keyboard. Some of them had a physical keyboard. But there weren't a lot of – this is the first – I mean, this time now we've got a lot of variety, don't we?
So, interestingly, you know, from a form factor perspective, yeah, I mean, I would say they were all very similar. There was a Dell one that had a nice hard keyboard that was only there for a little while. But, yeah, by and large, they were all very similar. The interesting thing about the first-gen Windows phones, however, was that the internals were, in fact, very different. And that was something that even surprised Microsoft because, of course, the hardware makers were always tweaking them. And they didn't really realize it. So a lot of the problems they had with those updates early on were because the firmware and the internals of these things were, in fact, sharply different. One thing I actually should communicate here, and I can't tell you who told me this. But let's just suffice to say it was someone at Microsoft. One of the big questions about Windows Phone and updates involves this Samsung Focus 1.4. version firmware, and as all these updates come out, that's the one version of the Samsung Focus that never gets updated, and everybody wonders why. And what I was told, and I was actually kind of fascinated by this, was that the differences between a 1.4 Focus and the other revisions of the product is almost infinitesimally small. In fact, it boils down to a single certificate inside the device that somehow manages to screw everything up. So it's not actually a dramatically different device from a hardware perspective. It's literally a cert inside that is screwing things up somehow. So I don't know if it's ever going to be fixed, you know, that beyond 7.5, if they can get those updates out faster or whatever. But that apparently is, it's apparently not a huge deal, but it is causing big problems.
Well, Tony has my focus, so I'll tell him to update. Well, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. Is there an update yet, or are they about to do it?
Well, there was an Odo update, and then there was an SSL update, and now, of course, is the Mango update. And in each one of those cases,
the certificate,
everyone was up to date except for people on this 1.4 revision.
Right, got it.
And I believe as of today, that is also the case. I don't know that Samsung Focus 1.4 firmware users have gotten that update yet.
And I just heard from a guy today who says no. He says not yet.
So it's everyone in the world except for those
people.
That's
frustrating. And that's the phone we liked.
It's only one
everybody
version.
Everybody liked
of it.
That
so
one.
The 1.4.
If you pop off the back of the case and you pop off the battery, there's a white sticker in there. And you'll see I think it says Rev 1.4 somewhere on there if it's a 1.4 version. And if you have that, you're kind of screwed, unfortunately. I don't think there's any way around.
But that certificate's a software certificate, right?
I know. Yeah.
Weird.
Yep.
That's a weird thing. I think that I would complain if I had that phone. And I would say
I said to a few people, if you get this from AT&T, I mean, bring it back and say, look, I'm not getting the updates.
Yeah.
This is an issue.
I need the Focus S.
Find one in a box that's a 1.3 or whatever and just let me swap it out.
Or give me an S.
Yeah. Or, now you could get an S. You could probably get a regular Focus, a first-gen Focus now for free from AT&T. They probably just...
Sure.
Tossing them out, you know.
I'm going to go get Tony's phone and take a look.
Is he here?
I'll
have to look.
See which one he had. See if I stuck him with a bad one. I got it the day they came out, so I probably had 1.3, right? The early ones, I presume.
Actually, I don't know. I mean, I have a few of them, so it's kind of hard, but let me look at mine. Mine says 1.2. This is a Rev 1.2.
Wow.
I think.
Wow.
It's dark in here, but I think that's what it is.
Well, we can't keep the lights low because Paul's been up all night playing Modern Warfare 3 and his eyes still have not adjusted. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We also, I think there's still a question of if Microsoft has come up with these updates in time, if they've caught up or are they still playing catch up? Also, there's a new guy in charge, new man in town. Wow, that scared me. From Samsung at handling Windows Phone for Microsoft. We're going to talk about that in just a bit first. Though I'd like to talk about my friends at Citrix, the makers of the amazing. Let me get the right lower third here. I think I spilled coffee all over it. Go to Assist
Click
Express. Is there coffee stains on the graphic there? No, I think they're all right. GoTo Assist Express is actually a great product. Everybody should know about it. If you do support of any kind, and I think most people who listen to our shows are at least supporting family and friends. Some of you actually do it for a living, or you're in software support, or you're an IT professional. The key to becoming a great performer in this area is having the right software that'll let you do what you do best, which is, of course, access the remote computer, the client computer, diagnose the problem. It's so hard to do that over the phone. Well, can you open? Okay, open. I want you to task manager. Now, tell me what you can't do that. You got to do it yourself. You can do it so quick, right? So frustrating when you have to walk somebody through this. With GoTo Assist Express, you get in there, you access the machine. They don't even have to be there. There's unattended support. You diagnose the problem, lickety split, because you can, because you're good, and you resolve the problem. You get out and you move on. And this makes you more efficient. That's why I highly recommend GoTo Assist Express from Citrix. Cross-platform, you can support Macs and PCs from Macs or PCs. Unattended support, I mentioned that. 8 sessions at once. You have an assay that says exactly what version of software is running on that machine, including background software, security software, as well as the version of the operating system. And it's so easy for your clients. You just send them a link, they click the link, and boom, it's installed. No support needed for the support tool, which let's face it, if you don't want to add work, you want to reduce your work. Access, diagnose, and resolve. Do it quickly. Do it now. Go to assist.com/windows. Go to assist.com/windows, and that's where you go for the 30-day free trial. That should be enough to get a sense of it. You probably have a tool that you're fond of that you use all the time. Maybe it's GoToAssist Express. Maybe it's another one. Try this one free for 30 days, and then you be the judge. GoToAssist.com/Windows, and we thank them so much for their support of Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley here. Both were at the Microsoft Windows Phone 7. So are they calling it 7.5, not Mango? Is that the official name?
Yeah, it's
don't
both.
Even get started on that.
What do you mean, Miss Code Word Bingo? You don't. It's unclear, huh?
Operating system is 7.1. The devices are 7.5.
And nowhere is a tropical fruit mentioned.
No.
Well, they still call it. I mean, they do call it Mango. It's almost
they call
they
it Mango.
Stop.
They call it Mango.
They can't stop themselves.
Yeah.
It's Mangorific. Oh, sorry.
It's a little too sweet.
Do you think they've caught up?
I think the software has absolutely caught up. I think the hardware is a little trickier because for this brief moment in time, I'd say they're probably right there. But like the iPhone, you know, they don't support true 4G. Although I find it very humorous, by the way, on the AT&T devices that I have, it actually says 4G up on the bar, even though it's, you know, it's just regular. It's the same. You know, I could put my old SIM in it and use the new device.
Yeah, it's HSDPA, HSPA Plus or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. It's really no faster from what I can tell, but whatever. Okay, so, you know, they don't have that stuff. They don't have the NFC type stuff. But
nobody supports NFC. I mean, it's nice to, I mean, I guess it's a checkbox, but no, come on, where are you going to use it?
But I think the simple truth of the marketplace is that by straddling this line between iPhone and Android, they're never going to have that effect that the Android does, where every week, every month, they come out with some new greatest phone of all time.
Right. That's a problem for Android in some ways.
I think it's a problem for certain things, you know, but it's just a reality of the situation. They've proven that they can throw out a very big software update and deliver it to almost everyone very, very quickly. And that's something Google does not do,
right?
Android users. So that's actually a big deal. And that's an example of them kind of straddling that line between iPhone and Android in a very good way. So, they're absolutely competitive. I mean, anytime you can make a chart that would show that Windows Phone does or does not beat or surpass or whatever these other phones, I guess. But that's not really how people pick these things.
Right.
I think that the phones are competitive just from a usage standpoint, but the trick here is going to be getting people to understand that and getting people to work in stores to sell them.
Right.
And even the
and just
day
having
of the
people
lunch,
see them, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, Paul. I was going to say, even just letting people see them in a normal setting. Like when we, a bunch of us went to lunch after this launch event, and we went to a Chinese restaurant near Macy's, and we were all showing our phones, and all of a sudden, all the waiters were like around our table, like, "What are those?" And they all wanted
wow,
to hold them. And
that's
touch
good.
Them. Yeah.
But
they had never seen
lunch.
Them.
Yeah. That's the problem.
I got to the hotel early because, as you know, I walked. And I heard stories from two different people who had gone to AT&T on Sunday because those phones actually, AT&T, I guess, delivers new phones on Sundays. So those two phones, the AT&T phones, were available the day before. And they went in to see them, and the people in the store, in both cases, tried to talk them out of it, even though they had just come out that day.
Same problem that Microsoft's had with the Kin, and
yeah,
you know, if you're not Android or Apple,
right,
you get short shrift.
Yeah, so this is the mentality that they need to overcome, and I think by and large, you know, people who use these phones love them. I mean, really, really like them. The trick is getting them to even look at it, you know.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said getting them into the hands of people so that others can see you using them.
Yeah. But I have had this experience. In fact, I was in a different restaurant having breakfast in Colorado, and the woman there's a woman who was working there came over and said, "Is that a Windows phone?" And I was like, I thought she was a plant, like from a candid camera mode. You got to be kidding me. Like, there's a normal person who knows what a Windows phone is.
Is that a Windows phone?
And I said, yeah. And she said, I've been waiting for my contract to expire. I want to get one of those.
Oh, that's
how
really
do you
encouraging.
Like it?
That's a good sign.
I thought that, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
So that can happen, and that's nice, and it should happen because they're great phones. But, you know, I just feel like they don't get enough attention, you know, from the people that matter.
So it's not an issue of whether they've caught up in hardware or software. They have. It's a mind share.
Well, you know, you have an iPhone 4S, right?
Yeah.
You could probably say categorically, aside from the camera, and actually the screen's very nice too. You know, you could point out, okay, but it's a beautiful quality
screen.
Yeah,
it's a nicely,
right?
Nice screen.
You could point out on a point-by-point basis why this thing falls short of several Android phones.
Absolutely.
But yet, it's going to sell in the millions.
Right.
It could very well be the best-selling phone of the next 6 months. And people buy them. You know, like people know about it. They want it. So why can't these guys that are selling Windows phones, who in some ways do have superior devices, you know, the Samsung Focus S is so much bigger than the iPhone 4S. And it probably weighs exactly the same, but the iPhone feels like a brick.
Yeah.
And this thing feels like a feather.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so thin. And yes, I know, you know, it's plastic, right? It's not made of metal and glass and some, you know, impossible meteorite generated element or something or whatever. But it's, you know, it's a beautiful device. But no one's ever gonna know.
Well, I still would like to do the challenge. You know, I'm carrying the iPhone 4S solely right now, although I still, you know, every once in a while I'll pull out that Galaxy S2 and I just go, wow, this is great. So those are the two, and I would love to add a third.
It feels like it's made out of lead to me now.
Well, it's so dense. You know? It's dense and
it's amazingly dense.
Yeah.
It's like really good fudge.
I have felt for some time, having moved off the iPhone, that the iPhone, when you go back to it, feels a little antiquated. Now, I know people who love the iPhone.
Well, of course it does. It's got like the buttons are like from a Leica camera.
Yeah. Well, you know? But also just the idea of having icons in a grid and that's it. I mean, this is the UI, is icons in a grid. And you have to slide from page to page. You can't quickly navigate it. Every app is kind of this standalone thing. It's starting to feel a little old. Yep.
You remember that animated cartoon from several years ago where the...
Yeah, I want an iPhone.
The woman, but I want an iPhone 4, but this does all this other stuff. Yes, but is it an iPhone? No, it's an Android. No, I want an iPhone.
I think this is the problem, is that Apple can't really now modify this too much. For instance, they're not going to do desktop widgets. They're not going to have a hub. They're not going to have a Metro style interface. This is what you're going to see. So there is an opportunity for alternative UIs.
So it's funny. I feel the same way. I agree with that statement. But it's a curious critique to say what you're essentially saying. What I'm essentially saying is, this device is so successful.
Right. You can't change it.
That they cannot change it because there are too many people using it.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of what happened
to Microsoft.
It's a weird thing to say. It's a very roundabout criticism.
Yeah. I agree.
It's the Windows XP for Apple.
It is. They're stuck with it.
I have a note there at the end of the Windows Phone 7's 5 stuff about the Samsung.
Yeah, let's talk about this guy.
I just wanted to mention that, you know, among the list of bad things that have kind of happened to Windows Phone over the last year, you know, one of them has to be these hardware partners, right? I mean, these guys have sort of secretly changed things under the covers, causing problems for Microsoft when they go to update the phones. Now, this is not certainly the way Microsoft would say it. You know, these are the company's partners. You know, they have good relationships with them and so forth. But Samsung in particular, you know, I talked about this 1.4 revision to the firmware that's causing all these problems. Samsung that did that. You know, Samsung inexplicably, and for whatever reason we'll never know, has at least four different versions of the Focus. If you talk to Rafael Rivera, who's working on that Chevron WP7 Labs locker tool for Windows Phone, he can tell you that the Samsung Focus line of products is denoted by dozens and dozens of different internal identifiers, that there's no name of this thing. There are dozens of names. That these guys are so inconsistent. In fact, one of the names is the number 4. There are just, I don't mean this is like a name that like a person gave to their phone. I mean, internally, Samsung has named multiple revisions of this phone different things. And they're all over the map.
And these guys
are really inconsistent.
Yeah.
So they hired the guy in charge of that stuff to work as a, is he a director or a general manager in the Windows Phone division? Like, I can't remember.
So you think this was a mistake?
Well... I don't know him. I mean, I'm sure he's a great guy, but I'm just saying, you know, externally, looking at it from the outside, right. I look at some of the problems they've had. And like I said, I'd have to point my finger at the Samsung in particular and at the phone makers in general. And they hired one of those guys.
Yeah. I mean, but like, the good thing is what this guy did at Samsung, I think. His title there was Vice President of Consumer and Enterprise Services, which being an enterprise kind of gal makes me hopeful. Hey, maybe he'll bring some enterprise chops to Windows Phone.
Sure. You think they wouldn't have to. Mm-hmm. It's Microsoft, right? If there's a company that gets the enterprise these days, wouldn't it be Microsoft? And yet their phone is uniquely incapable of meeting the needs of the enterprise in some ways. I mean, obviously they made some changes in 7.5, but
well, let's talk about Apollo. Mary Jo wrote an article about mm-hmm. Windows Phone 8 and MinWin as the core. In other words, Windows 8 in Windows Phone 8.
It's like very MinWin.
Very MinWin.
Very MinWin. Yeah. Yeah. So you know, a lot of people have been speculating that when Windows Phone 8 comes out, codenamed Apollo, that Microsoft would actually be able to take some of the Windows 8 core and make that the core of the phone. Because right now the core of the phone's not Windows 8. It's Windows Embedded Compact, which isn't really the same. And you know, there's been a lot of back and forth. Could they do that? Would it work? Would it give them any advantages? And then I found this blog post from a guy who used to be a distinguished engineer at Microsoft, who talked a lot about why Microsoft could actually take like the MinWin core, which is the NT kernel of Windows, and some of the file server stuff around it and networking TCP/IP stuff, and make that the core of Windows Phone and what it would get you if they did that. So it was interesting to see that come from somebody who just a year ago was at Microsoft and who made a very compelling case for, yeah, they could, and they could do it in that time frame, which would be 2012 as well.
Hmm. So do you think they should? Could, now we know, should they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they should too.
Why? What? Okay.
Because you know, I had reticence.
Consider me an ignorant fool. Why?
Okay,
should they do that?
I thought no at first because I was thinking, oh man, that's going to make all of the applications that were developed for Windows Phone without the kernel, without the NT kernel, not work on Windows Phone 8 anymore. But he makes again this guy named Hal Berenson, who used to work at Microsoft, makes a very good case for saying no, not really. I mean, because how many applications on Windows Phone go down to the kernel level? I mean, drivers do, right? But do things reboots. No.
There is a subset of Windows Phone apps that use what they call native code. These are apps that have to be specially signed by Microsoft. So Spotify is an example of this. And I just mentioned Raphael. I believe that he is going to write a post about which apps do that.
That would be presumably so they could multitask in the background or something like that.
They can access certain system services that just aren't generally available to developers. Right. There's a scary side effect to that, aside from the compatibility issues that I guess would hinder what she's talking about. But, you know, one of them is that it's creating a weird strata of apps that can and apps that can't. You know, the vast majority of apps can't, but increasingly the apps that can end up being those apps that are, in fact, the better apps, you know, for whatever reason. And so I don't want to blow away what he's going to write about that, but that's something to look for in the next couple of days, hopefully.
Interesting.
I'm sorry if I cut you off, Mary Jo.
No. I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see, can they do this? Can they pull it off in this shorter time? You know, can they actually make it work? So I'm curious to see how this all works out.
Yeah, I expect to see, if not Windows Phone 8, Windows Phone 9, whatever. I mean, I expect to see that converge. There are many good reasons for them to be the same platform. You know, one would just be sustainability and support issues, you know, having one platform that is everything. And building a truly componentized OS, which Microsoft has done over time, enables you to, you know, start from a common base and build out. And you build up a little bit and you get the phone, you build up a little more, you get these ARM tablets, you build up a little more, you get desktop, and you build up from that, you get server. You know, there's a kind of a nice sequence there. So assuming that it is technically viable, and I think it is, yeah, I think they absolutely should do that, definitely.
Let's talk about, we still have more Windows Phone to talk about. Are you sick of Windows Phone yet, kids? Let me ask. No, they want to know more. Mm-hmm. Looking out is this is definitely a Paul headline.
Yep.
Looking at
I've gotten
with all due respect, Mary Jo Foley, there's no one quite so cynical as Paul Farad.
Well, I've seen three instances of this now.
He says, looking out for the new brand of Windows Phone criticism. What is it?
There's a line about this, right? One time's a coincidence, two times is something else. You know, three times is a strategy. I don't know. Whatever that term is. I have now seen three instances of people writing an article where they what they're trying to do is tear down Windows Phone. So how do you do that? You know, how do you do that? Like, what would you complain about now? You know, in the beginning, you'd say, well, there are no apps. You know, it doesn't do multitasking. It doesn't have cut and paste. You know, as those things go away, you know, what can you complain about? And this is the craziest criticism I've ever heard in my life. And it's called, it's called different things, but let's call it presentation density. And this is insane. I just want to step back for a second and remember that one of the points behind Windows Phone, the Metro UI, is this notion of beautiful typography.
Right.
Beautiful layout.
Right.
And it's not let's squish as much junk as we can on whatever the size of the screen is. It's let's make it look pretty and not just pretty to be pretty, but let's make it useful as well.
Right.
And so you see these beautiful layouts. You have, you know, the hub type of UIs where it's this multi-screen thing that you flip through. Or you see something like the Mail app where it's really just about typography, you know, beautiful fonts and really nice looking text. So how do you complain about something like that?
Well, it's too dense, my friend. It's just dense.
Not dense enough.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's not.
That's why it's insane.
It's not dense enough.
If you were to go to your here's how you know. Here's how you can compare them. You know, on the iPhone, which I'll bring up now, just to tell you exactly what it's called. You can go into the Photos app, and you can see, and you can go to an album. And then you'll see a grid of thumbnails. And it's 4 by 4.5. So maybe it's 16. I guess it would be 20 if it was full screen. So you can see 20 thumbnails of photos on that screen. And it's a pretty small screen. But now let's do it on Windows Phone, right? I'll open a photo album on Windows Phone. So I go to Windows Phone. I go to Pictures. And I go to Albums. And I go to one of these things. And actually, it's funny because in this particular one, there are, in fact, more squares than there are on the iPhone. But in the example I've seen in a complaint, when you segregate them by date, it adds this like white space. So you have a date, and then you have a grid of some icons, a grid of thumbnails, and then there's some space because you know they're trying to visually separate these things. And what the argument is that's a waste of space.
Hmm.
That the information is not dense enough.
Oh please!
You know, the other example, I know it's
that,
insane.
That is crazy because of course that's
okay. Here's the thing: so if one person wrote that, I'd say this person's an idiot. They don't know anything about design.
Right.
Okay, I can forget that. I can skip that. I don't have to write about that. I have now seen this in three different places. Hmm. And I use the phrase information density, I think, or data density, I think is how I saw it written one time. It's always some variation of that. They describe it's not always the same term, but it means the same thing. It's data density. That if you're trying to tell me that because an iPhone UI can squeeze more emails into an inbox view,
that's not an advantage.
Then you don't know anything about design.
Right.
And even Steve Jobs would tell you that's not necessarily.
Yes. In fact, okay. So I will give you this. This is clearly opportunistic criticism. They're looking for something.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So my point is simply there are things you can still complain about with Windows Phone. It's, you know, like anything else.
That's
it
not
has
one of them.
Improvements that could be made. This is not one of them. Windows Phone has beautiful looking UIs, nice layouts, etc. It just does. You know, sorry. I mean, you were just talking about how antiquated a grid of icons looks.
Right. I think Metro
there's another argument. So, for example, on the Windows Phone start screen, I could see at maximum 8 tiles because those are really big tiles. They're big tiles.
Right.
And if you go to an iPhone home screen, you can see 4 by 16, 20, 20. You can see 20. 20, Leo, is more than 8. iPhone wins.
It's got better.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, better information density.
Even though these tiles can be way more expressive.
Right.
Right? That unlike on the iPhone, you don't necessarily have to dive into every single app to know what's in there.
Right.
Right? This is like the...
No, live icons make a lot of sense. You know,
iPhone wins because there are more icons in the desktop. They win.
No.
That's the argument. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's the argument.
Well, I think it's a foolish and spurious argument. I wouldn't buy that for a moment. That's all I have
data,
to say.
data density.
Data density.
I believe this equation that describes why it's superior. I'll try to draw that up.
Well, you know, actually, you're close, because that's really what's going on, is they say, well, I know that I like it better, so let me find a reason.
It's insane. Yeah. And you're running out of reasons, because, like I said, Microsoft has been improving it. So now all the good reasons, the cherry picking has occurred. The low-hanging fruit is gone.
Right, right.
Now what are we going to come up with?
Right, you know? Right. Alrighty. Alrighty then. Let's move on from the Windows Phone beat. Because yes, we have to. Sorry. Okay. Because next week, we're going to get some Barnes & Noble's Nookie color.
Yeah.
We're going to get the Fire from Amazon, the Kindle Fire. We got some tablets coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And Microsoft, of course, is notoriously suing quite a few Android phone manufacturers. Do you know? I mean, are they going to go after Amazon? I thought that I heard that. Maybe, maybe not. Barnes & Noble says...
I think they had some agreement with Amazon already.
They They did. Amazon licensed it.
Yeah, I don't know if that covers Linux. Android, but I believe there was some cross-licensing there.
Yeah, they cross-licensed Linux.
You got to remember, Amazon's one of the few companies that can host Microsoft servers in the cloud. And it wouldn't surprise me to discover those guys have far-reaching cross-licensing.
I bet you're right.
Not necessarily as a result of that, but I bet that those guys are very close.
So Barnes & Noble, Amazon's arch nemesis, says the DOJ should investigate Microsoft over all of this.
Yeah, I think so too. That would be awesome.
That's confusing. Can you explain? It's convoluted. It's confusing. I don't understand. Who's mad at whom for what?
I know. And the argument is really, it's really convoluted when you try to kind of deconstruct what they're saying here. They're saying because Microsoft has patent agreements with the other Android vendors, and because they have a deal with Nokia, that they're monopolizing the market.
Because they have two out of three operating systems in their back pocket.
Right,
but, I mean, and you know their market share in Windows Phone.
But with what are those devices? Yeah, exactly. And what's their market share in the e-reader market again?
Yeah,
that's the monopoly.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
I mean, I think Barnes and I'm glad Barnes and Noble is fighting them, because I'm thinking maybe we're going to be able to see some of the patents finally revealed that are in dispute. That's the only reason I'm interested in this. But now Barnes & Noble is subpoenaing Nokia and subpoenaing Nokia's patent enforcement agency called MossAid Technologies. I mean, the things they want to see, like all the details of the Microsoft-Nokia partnership agreement, they're never going to get this. Come on. I just do not see this.
It's spurious. It has nothing to do. It's like, let's just keep the lawyers busy until February.
Yeah.
You know, it has nothing to do with the case. You know, I agree with Mary Jo that the greatest thing that could come out of this is that this thing actually goes to court and they actually have to lay bare what these patents are. And someone, whoever it is, has to decide whether these things are valid, and not just valid, but also whether they impact, you know, the Barnes & Noble products in question, too. Right. It's this is an amazing thing that needs to happen. I think all of the technology-related patents, and certainly the mobile industry-related patents, need to be examined. There should be a halt on new patents in this industry until this happens.
I mean, and the only reason I agree, I understand, and I think people do have the right to protect themselves, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But when you see the drain on innovation that this is, that all this money that would be poured into making better products is being poured into...
Okay, but there are two extremes to this, because I do also feel that Android, or Google in particular, is riding on the backs of technology that was invented elsewhere that people do own legitimately. Not all of it, but some of it certainly. And that there's no way to know unless this stuff is tested. I guarantee you or suspect that 50 to 90% of Microsoft's patents are not, in fact, relevant or valid for these products. But some of them might be. And I think that that needs to be decided. You know, Android has certainly ridden a wave to success. And there's Google, a company that has not invented any of these technologies and doesn't own any of those technologies that they use in that product. So, you know, there's a certain amount of unfairness to that. I think Microsoft is probably reaching. I mean, obviously, in a patent infringement case, you try to find anything that is even slightly related to the topic to make it seem like it's a bigger case than it is. So I'd love to see this thing tested.
That's what I've said all along.
Across the board.
Show me the source code. But I do think we should just halt these patents until we figure this out.
Until we figure it out. The system needs to catch up with the way that the world has changed.
Yeah. I'm going to take a break. I do want to talk about the end of the line for two web technologies, very similar web technologies, Silverlight and Flash. Coinkydink.
Gopher and IRC.
Archie and Veronica. Coinkydink or not? We'll find out in just a second. Before we do that, though, I would like to talk about backing up your precious bodily data. Did I say that? I'm talking about Carbonite.com. It's actually your precious data from your hard drive. All hard drives crash. They all crash eventually. Data gets lost. Users throw it out by accident. Bad things happen. What would happen? Just a little. What did Einstein call them? Thought experiments. Gedanken. Gavankadan. Gavankadan. I don't think that can't be right.
I'm not an expert, but I don't think that's it.
That's not the German for thought experiment. In any event, Gedanken. I want to say Gedanken, but I think it's got to have more syllables than that. Let me Google it. But anyway, a thought experiment. Imagine, if you will, Gedankenspiel. Thank you. It's a Gedankenspiel. We have Germans in the chat room. But Gedanken is something else entirely. Let's do a Gedankenspiel. You have a hard drive full of stuff. What if just by chance something bad were to happen to it right now? Let's say aliens were to come and remove it. What would you be able to restore? How much of that data? All of it? And then you don't need to listen to this ad. None of it? You need to listen to this ad. Some of it? You don't know? You really need to listen to this ad. Because Carbonite is about backing up stuff automatically to the cloud where it is safe. Even if the worst happens, if there's a disaster, it's cloud storage, the most affordable cloud storage out there. Because you have unlimited storage for less than $5 a month. Unlimited. Everything on your internal drive. And you can access it anytime. Just log on to your Carbonite account from a Mac or a PC or a smartphone or a BlackBerry or a tablet. And there's your stuff. For $59 a year. Automatic, continuous, safe backup. Now that's worth it. Just the peace of mind alone. For Macs or PCs, works great with Lion. Go to Carbonite.com, use the offer code Windows. You could try it free for 2 weeks right now. And I like you to do that for a couple of reasons. One, of course, it uses your upstream bandwidth, so you have to have enough bandwidth to make this work for you. So this is a good way to try it. In most cases, those 2 weeks you'll be able to back up, get their first full backup. And now it's just incremental backup. I mean, that's great. So that's free. And if you decide to buy, after you do the 2 week trial, use Windows again and you'll get. That's the offer code, Windows, as in Windows Weekly. You'll get 14 months for the price of 12, two free months when you use our offer code. You got to back it up to get it back, so do it right. Carbonite, do the Gedankenspiel. What would happen if you lost all your data? If you're not sure, you better get Carbonite. Carbonite.com, use the offer code, Windows. So, I could just imagine, what is the opposite of spinning in your grave? Dancing in your grave? I just imagine Steve Jobs, his victory, chief victory over Flash. Flash on the mobile platform, Adobe announced yesterday, is dead. Makes him very happy, I'm sure, up there in gadget heaven. But now, we were talking, I remember after the Microsoft conference, about Silverlight. What are you laughing at? What are you laughing at?
Up there, down there, heaven. Whatever. Anyway.
Up there or down there. Oh, ow.
Anyway,
Silverlight. Is Silverlight dead? Mary Jo,
I don't want to be quoted saying that.
Okay. But we were talking after the last, what do they call
PDC.
That? PDC.
Yep. It's not going to be dead. There's going to be a 5.1.
We were talking at PDC about the future of Silverlight in Windows 8, and there was some equivocating going on. Was there not? Wasn't Mr. Sanofsky a little equivocal?
Oh, no, it wasn't him. It was Bob Muglia, who was the head of server and tools at the time when that happened.
Yeah, where's he now?
He now doesn't work at Microsoft anymore. But not necessarily related. And in fact, not related. But he said at that time, our strategy for Silverlight has shifted. And what Microsoft said at that time was, okay, Silverlight is not our cross-platform plug-and-play anymore because of all the constraints. We can't be on iOS because they're not allowing browser plugins. And Microsoft's not allowing them either on Metro on Windows 8. Right. So you know, what they're doing, it sounds like, is basically end-of-lifing Silverlight after Release 5. Release 5 is about to come out anytime, like maybe in the next 2 weeks. They might have a 5.1 servicing update is kind of the word on the street. Microsoft has said none of this, by the way. This is just them telling people this privately who are blabbing publicly. But I've got a lot of people telling me that they're being told this. And so I really believe this is true. And I think Microsoft needs to do very quickly what Adobe did yesterday, which is put out a blog post and say what you are doing.
Be decisive, and explain why it's okay.
The FUD is incredible. Yeah.
You know, as you were saying that, it occurs to me that when Bob Muglia made that comment, he would have known internally at Microsoft that they were working on WinRT. And WinRT can be seen as a logical replacement for both Silverlight as it's developed and also for WPF. So that statement makes sense in the context of WinRT, which I think we also know is going to be heading to the phone, you know, when you accept that the phone is the same platform as desktop and server versions of Windows. So that puts his comments about Silverlight in perspective, I think. And I think that...
I've had people this week saying, you know, what WinRT, the Windows runtime, really is Silverlight 6. And in a way, they're not far off in saying that. I mean, because WinRT supports XAML, the markup language, right?
What about HTML5? I mean, this Adobe said HTML5 is going to replace Flash.
It's a little more complex than that. So obviously, HTML5 can do what Silverlight was originally intended to do in the browser. You know, Silverlight started as a browser add-in to play video specifically. That's what it was for. It's for high-quality video because at the time, Flash could only do low-quality video. Over time, it has evolved fairly dramatically. And you have to sort of, I don't want to call it ironic, but it's sort of amazing that a technology that started as a browser plugin will be running at the kernel level as the core runtime for Windows 8 going forward. Not exactly. I mean, it's not exactly the same. But, you know, from the perspective of a developer, anyone who is immersed in these managed code frameworks, WPF or Silverlight, WinRT is a very straight transition. So that's a good story to tell people right there that, you know, HTML5 makes plenty of sense in a web browser for a web app. And then your Silverlight skills still make plenty of sense for native applications going forward. So, you know, to me, it just makes sense. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, Silverlight became something so much bigger than just a browser plugin over time, right? I mean, in a way, it became a development platform for line of business apps. It became a development platform for rich media apps. I mean, it kind of took on a life of its own. And that's the problem.
It's Windows Phone.
It's the core of Windows Phone.
It's how you develop for Windows Phone.
Yeah. And so now, you know, when somebody says, is Silverlight dead? Which Silverlight do you mean in a way, right? Like when Adobe says, you know, if Adobe says Flash on mobile is dead, but it's still alive on PCs, by the way, right?
Right.
And Microsoft's in that same kind of dilemma. Like there's a lot of nuances that they need to spell out about where Silverlight's going to continue and where it's not going to continue.
Well, and I think you could argue that Silverlight is used in far more broadly than Flash ever was. I mean, it's a framework, right? Or no?
Well, that's tough to say. I mean, Flash is very popular. I think the
I don't mean popularity. I mean just in terms of functionality. Silverlight does
absolutely.
Much,
yeah,
much,
no,
much
of course. But that's because it turned into something else.
Right.
I mean,
it's more than a Flash.
Silverlight was, you know, back when Vista was still around, there were a couple of things going on at Microsoft that didn't make a lot of sense. They had this XPS document format that was seen as a PDF ripoff. They had Silverlight, which was seen as a Flash ripoff. And it was like, what are these guys doing? It's like they're duplicating everything that Adobe does. You know, what's next? We're going to see Microsoft Photoshop or something? I mean, it was very strange. Over time, Silverlight went in a million different directions. It's all kinds of different things. Like Mary Jo said, XPS fortunately has gone nowhere, and I hope that continues because there's no reason for it at all. It's ridiculous. But, you know, Silverlight is very important, and so I think that there is a good there's an excellent thing that you can say to developers with regards to how their skills transition very nicely to these new things, and I just kind of wish they would say it, whatever it is, you know, whatever the end result is.
All right.
So yeah, so right now it's just speculation, quote unquote. Even though I'm like 99% sure it's ending at version 5. or 5.1 if you want to really, right. Yeah, if
hey,
you really
remember,
want to split hairs.
Windows X wasn't Windows XP version 5.1, you know, so it could be big.
Yeah.
And now,
but again, I think the longer they wait to say what's going on, they're really hurting their developers and they're really hurting their customers too. And you know, a lot of customers are going, so wait, I've got a project I'm about to start with Silverlight. Right. Should I start it or shouldn't I?
Right. You need to give them a clear path. And
since we do a lot of speculation, I would just throw out the notion that it would not surprise me to discover in the near future that this inability to discuss what's really going on with a developer oriented technology has everything to do with Windows 8, and that there's just kind of an information shutdown occurring around that, and that the fate of Silverlight is tied up in WinRT, and they just don't want to say anything until this thing is mature and ready to roll. And it wouldn't surprise me if that were the case. It's just a guess, but it seems like there's a lot hinging on Windows 8 these days, you know, at Microsoft. And this is, I don't know. It seems like this is the time we need some clarity, which is a theme I feel like I keep returning to every week.
Clarity. Well, at least we have spell check, and that's really what I care about.
I wish I had that little thing I could pull and the confetti would come down.
Whee!
We win!
Woo!
Yep.
Spell check and autocorrect, which I even like better.
Yeah, that's actually one of the reasons I don't use IE as my primary browser. You know, there's all these little things that are missing currently in IE, and they're present in, say, Chrome, so... That's neat. Anyway, this is Mary Jo Stirrer. I'm just excited.
Yeah, no, well, I was going to say, recently when I wrote about, you know, why aren't people using IE on Windows 7, I got so many people saying to me, because they don't have spell check in the browser. I mean, it was amazing how many people said that. So here they're going to have, guess what? They're going to have spell check in IE 10 whenever we get IE 10. You know, it'll be part of Windows 8, we already know. And there's a lot of spell checking built into the actual operating system with Windows 8 too. But there's also going to be a standalone version of IE 10 for Windows 7. We just don't know when, probably next year sometime. And that's going to have the spell check too and the autocorrect as well. And they even showed some interesting stuff about being able to spell check in multiple languages that look kind of cool.
Can I ask a question? As a poor Apple user.
Yeah.
Why doesn't just Microsoft make it OS wide, as it is on OS 10? I mean, just put in spell checking in the operating system.
Oh, OS wide, yeah.
OS operating system.
It will be
wide.
In Windows 8, right? I think Windows 8 will have that.
Because I mean, it's really, I mean, that's such a basic fundamental service that.
So
should just
you
be...
think they should help users?
Call me crazy.
You, sir, are a communist.
It's not like there's a big market of third party. Auto spell correction programs. I know there are some, but it's not like they're going to disenfranchise, you know, a major player in the game here. Put it in the OS.
Yeah, you know, you don't want an antitrust lawsuit launched from the folks at IE7 Pro or whatever,
right.
Or IESpellcheck.com or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I really love it as a system-wide service.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to worry about the browser. It's just everywhere. Even
it's quite
Chrome.
An idea.
Quite a thought, huh?
It would be great. It would be a great idea, yes.
Maybe they don't want to disenfranchise the Office group. I bet, you know, knowing how Microsoft works in the political, you know, infighting, maybe that's
There are some bits to that. Remember the spell checker in Outlook Express or Windows Live Mail or whatever wouldn't work until
you had to have
installed.
Outlook.
Once you
install Office,
any
you get the spell check. Right.
Although I don't think that's the case now in the latest version of Windows Live Mail. But yeah, that certainly was the case for years.
They were using it as a way to sell Office, of all things. Yep.
It's like they're a commercial software company.
Yeah. What a thought. I think some people might make a case you can't be, and this is one of the ways you would split Microsoft, both an OS and a desktop app. Company.
Oh, this is a classic Microsoft argument. You know, you mean to tell me that a web browser has to be a core part of the OS, but you don't have spell checking? You know, it is kind of a way, you know, this is an interesting way to think of it.
Wow. Modern Warfare 3.
Finally.
You already, wait a minute, get this, Mary Jo. He's already finished it.
I think I might go make a sandwich now.
I'll make this quick. I'm not going to dwell on this one. No, I love it. It's fantastic. I was actually, I have to be honest, now that it's coming, you know, it's kind of happened. I was actually really worried about this because the company that made it imploded last year. And if you've been following along with Call of Duty, there's Infinity Ward started the company. These are the guys who came from the Medal of Honor series originally. And because these games started to become so complex, they would do every other game. And they used to bring in essentially like level designers, these guys from Treyarch. And the Treyarch guys would do every other game. In the beginning, the Treyarch games were really bad, like Call of Duty 3. But lately, version 5 and then Black Ops were both fantastic and in some ways actually superior to what the Infinity Ward guys did. So when Infinity Ward imploded and Activision had to bring in another studio to finish the game, actually I believe two studios, I think a second studio finished multiplayer, you know, there was the possibility that this one was really going to blow it. And actually, if anything, it's almost certainly the best one in the whole series.
Really?
So, yeah, now, they did a really good job.
You told me that I shouldn't play Black Ops because I was too much of a noob. And well, it would be too hairy for me.
Speaking specifically about multiplayer, beginning with Modern Warfare, which was Call of Duty 4, multiplayer got very complex because they have all these different weapon loadouts and perks and in the case of the Infinity Ward games, accolades and, you know, all these different things you can do to the weapons. And I made a big mistake with that game where I didn't play multiplayer for a long time. And I was sharing my account with my son, and he was playing multiplayer, and he was leveling up. And by the time I picked up multiplayer, I had no idea what the heck was going on. And any of the Modern Warfare games, there are three of them now, or World at War, which was Call of Duty 5, or the last game, which was Black Ops, have this newer style of multiplayer.
Right.
And it's just a lot of stuff. And if you were just to walk in off the street and pick that one up to begin with, I think it would be very difficult. So I would just say, and we're in a nice place right now because you could go back to Call of Duty 4 and there's still a lot of people playing it online.
So is that where I should start?
That might not be a bad place to start. If you have any goal of playing online at all, I think that would be the place to start because it's just too... you would just be so lost.
Right, but if Mary Jo and I wanted to do the campaign... The single player.
Oh, this one would be fine.
It'd be okay.
Other than the fact that it's the third story of a trilogy.
Well, I figure the first two stories are things like soldiers, bad guys, kill my buddy, got to kill bad guy.
Actually, this is more serious stuff. It's World War III.
Oh, that's right.
It's not a nuclear bomb, but a...
who's the bad guys in this?
A neutron bomb or whatever it is goes off. It's actually terrorists who have made it look like Russia launched an attack on the United States, and it triggers a war in which the United States and Russia, in fact, do go to war. And by the third game, I mean, you're in New York, which is destroyed, and London, which is destroyed, and Paris, which is destroyed, Prague. It's all over the world. It's amazing. It's really nicely done.
Now, you were playing Battlefield 3 until this came out.
Well, I played Battlefield 3. I did the single-player game to fruition. I played the multiplayer for, I'd say, several days. But it just, you know, there are two camps when it comes to these games. There are Battlefield people and Call of Duty people. We have no respect for each other.
Yeah, I know.
Nor do we have any respect for the other games.
Because to people like Mary Jo and me, they're indistinguishable.
Right.
It's the same game.
The one thing I would say to people who defend Battlefield is that the guys that make Battlefield did everything they could to clone Call of Duty with this latest game. So I get what you're saying, but you know they're doing what they can to be like Modern Warfare. And the single-player game, it was okay, but it just didn't have the same kind of emotional draw that the Modern Warfare stuff does. It's just better done. It just is.
It's really interesting how they're two camps.
Yeah. But, you know, from a multiplayer perspective... there are people who like Battlefield, that style of play. It's more tactical. It's more team-oriented. It's slower moving. And then there are the people who like Call of Duty, which is more action-oriented.
Right.
And I happen to prefer that. Like I said, though, it's gotten a lot more complex. I mean, it's not just you could run around like an idiot and just shoot people, I guess. But it's, you know, there's more to it than that. And I just think they've hit a nice groove. I mean, obviously now they're at the point where they've maxed out the graphical capabilities of the 360. So I'm curious to see, you know, where they go from here. I don't know. What the next game is kind of a mystery. I don't know where you go from here.
It's a little. I have a little Xbox update for you, Paul, because I'm seeing this on the.
Oh no! Tell me.
Now.
Tell me the dashboard.
The chat room. No, the chat room wants to know
the
about
dashboard.
The
go dashboard ahead. Preview.
Yeah.
Dashboard preview is going to people right now.
Yay!
Right this second.
I gotta go.
This is a private NDA preview. I'm sure Paul must. have signed that NDA.
He's on that team.
So this is for the dashboard update that's coming. And this is going to give you the Bing speech capabilities using Kinect. You know, so you can say, hey, Bing, Xbox, Batman, and all the Batman content shows up. I can see Paul's checking if he's getting it right now.
I'm not doing anything. It's just sunny outside. That's not my Xbox.
Xbox Live TV, right? Isn't Xbox Live TV part of this too, I believe?
I don't know. Preview
of that. Metro look and feel in the dashboard. So lots of stuff. So
but you guys aren't going to be able to talk about it because you're NDA'd. Right?
They're supposedly not able to.
So did you both sign the NDA?
I did not.
Okay, so Mary Jo, get Paul to tell you, and then you can tell me.
You sign up and you hope
you know. Okay.
Mm-hmm. 6 degrees of NDA breaking. is it updating, Paul? Is it?
Yeah. He's checking it right now.
I could tell. He's looking. Yeah, it might be looking.
It doesn't matter. I can wait.
Okay. I can't wait. All right, we're going to take a break. You want to take some questions from the chat room for a few minutes, or do you want to get right into your picks?
If you have time, we can do that. It's up to you.
We got a little time. Take a few minutes of questions from the chat room, and then we'll get picks as well before we do any of that, though. Let's talk a little bit about my friends at Ford Motor Company, makers, of course, of the great Ford Sync and my Ford Touch. If you've got a late model Ford vehicle, I hope you got it with a Sync. Oh, I hope you got it with a Sync, and if you didn't, well, maybe it's time to get a new Ford, because you're going to love this thing. Sync lets you talk to your car. You don't take your hands off the wheel or the eyes off the road. You press a button. You say, call mom. You say, where's the nearest gas station? Say, what is the lowest gas prices? You can get movie times with the Sirius Travel Link. It's amazing. Set cabin temperature. And now what they've done, they've got an API for the Ford Sync, and they've got something called Ford App Link. You'll find this in the 2012 Fiesta and more upcoming Ford vehicles. App Link means you can control smartphone apps with your voice. Android, iPhone, even BlackBerry with the latest BlackBerry OS. And I'm sure Windows Phone soon. I've heard Windows Phone soon. Pandora Internet Radio. You say, play my channel, you know, my rock and roll channel, or, you know, play the Willie Nelson channel. They've got Stitcher Smart Radio, so you can listen to this show and many, many other podcasts and radio shows on demand. You don't have to download them first. You just say, you know, play Windows Weekly, and it will. The OpenBeak, which reads your tweets. But this is just some of the massive, incredible, sophisticated technology built into Ford vehicles these days. It's just incredible. Give it a try. Go to your Ford dealer, or if you want to know more, take a look at ford.com/technology. They've got just a bunch of the Bliss cross traffic alert, monitoring your blind spots and warning you. Active Park Assist, which actually parallel parks your car. The incredible new electric, hybrid, and very efficient EcoBoost engines. Ford.com/technology or visit your local Ford dealer. We thank Ford so much for their support of Windows Weekly. All right, Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. One of the things that our chat room wanted to know, very interested in the rumors about the new Xbox, the thinner, slimmer. Will we see this at CES? Paul, you think?
I don't know when it's coming out exactly. I will say the rumors I saw this week did not match what I've heard from Microsoft. So okay. I saw something about something called Loop, something based on Windows 9. That's not what I heard. So if the Xbox is coming next year, yeah, we're going to have to hear something about it at CES.
Or E3, I guess. So E3's in June.
No, but they can't announce it at E3 and then ship it at the end of the year. It would have to be a much bigger rollout, okay. I would think, okay. For a major new console like
and
this.
And Kinect will, of course, be a big part of all of Microsoft going forward.
You know, last year, and it might have been at CES almost a year ago, where they said, you know, that Kinect effectively doubled the life cycle of the Xbox 360, which sounds ludicrous on the face of things, except you need to remember that the last 2 years of that life cycle are going to occur when there's another console, right? So when the Xbox 360 came out, the original Xbox didn't just disappear. So if you subtract 2005 plus 10 years is 2015, subtract 2 years from that is 2013. That would be the most logical time for the new console to come out, which will not be called the Xbox 720. I can't believe how often I see that. You know, so we'll see. If it's 2013, then I would say this coming E3 next June would be the time to first discuss it. So I think CES would be the first time they could possibly talk about it. But I guess it will just depend on when that console is actually coming.
Here's a question from HMail. It says, Paul, I'm interested in getting into Windows development. Do you know what the future of the Win32 API is?
Yeah, it's called WinRT. And
that's Win32 API. So .NET, of course, will survive, yeah. Right?
The question is going to be whether you want to learn it using a so-called native language like C# or Visual Basic, or whether you want to go the HTML plus JavaScript plus CSS route. And I think there were good arguments to be made for either way. Maybe, in fact, this is maybe a little heretical, but if you want the broadest range of skills, might actually make more sense to go to the HTML end, because that stuff would be applicable to web apps as well.
The future is there. You haven't yet finished downloading your new Blade update. And Mary Jo is not NDA'd. So one of you might be able to answer the question, when will Windows Live TV be out? Mary Jo, you heard it's in the beta?
It's supposed to be this month.
I hear that it's part of the developer preview.
This thing
the
rolling out right now.
Preview.
Right.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be a public dashboard preview supposedly around November 15th, which is next week, right? Also may be delayed, right?
Right. There are two things occurring. There's this fall update, they do one of these every year, basically. I mean, sometimes they're bigger, sometimes they're smaller, but that will have the internet TV stuff. There's a second update coming that's going to be that Windows 8 style UI, the white background with the green, metro style squares and all that stuff. So, There are two sets of updates to look forward to. Oh, I'm sorry. And the second one will be, that's early next year.
And I was waiting for the other shoe to drop.
And the second one is coming next year.
Good.
Early next year.
Got it.
Sorry.
Got it. All right.
I thought you were reading my mind.
I was, and I knew you had more to say, so I didn't say anything. I was waiting. I knew your mind.
Oh, did you want the rest of that?
Finish that sentence, would you? Our software pick. Thank you, chat room, for all the questions.
I should have just ended that with oops. What was the other part of that?
There's three updates.
Yeah.
Software pick of the week from Mr. Paul Thurrott.
So I have two software picks this week. It's kind of a big week for Windows Phone. So the first one is from my friends at Chevron WP7. They've released their Chevron WP7 Labs tool. This is the Windows Phone Developer Unlock tool. So this can be found at labs.chevronwp7.com. And what this does is it developer unlocks your phone. You can do this through Microsoft, but it costs $99 a year. Or you can do it through Chevron, which costs $9 once. And you can't submit apps to the store. If you're a developer, you need to do the Microsoft thing. But if you just want to write your own apps and test them before you go pro, this is a cheap way to do this because this lets you deploy apps to the phone. But honestly, the big reason to get this thing for most people would be to run homebrew apps. And there's one that I mentioned a few weeks ago. I talked about taking screenshots on Windows Phone 7, which is one of those things that requires native APIs. There is an excellent screenshot app that only runs if you have a developer unlocked phone. So that app is free, but you could pay $9 for this, and then you can take screenshots, among other things. So that's definitely something to check out. That's a cool tool, and it's Microsoft sanctioned. They're not doing it on the sly. This is something they did in concert with Microsoft. So it is it's official and everything. You're not doing anything bad. And then the second one is
You say that, I'm looking at this graphic on the webpage.
You're trying to figure out what that means. So the first
what the hell? It's like an IKEA instruction kit.
Yeah, the thing on the left is a battery from a watch.
All right.
And the second one is the first generation Zoom device.
Yeah.
And then the third one, I don't know what that
looks
is.
Looks like a tire iron.
It's like an S Allen wrench thing.
Do I need any of these things to do this?
No, you don't need any of those.
What is this? This looks like, okay, in order to do this, gather one watch battery, old Zoom, and a tire iron.
This was designed by engineers.
What the hell is it? Okay. Anyway, I just wanted to check on that. Maybe I was missing something.
No, you're not missing anything. I think we're all confused.
We're all baffled. Spotify. Hey, this is exciting. I am a big Spotify fan.
Spotify is one of those services that requires some things that were not available in Windows Phone until Windows Phone 7.5. So it's nice to see this happening. I'm hoping that we see similar services like Pandora start showing up. So if you're familiar with Spotify, you know it's a free or paid subscription service, music service. It has an incredible library. It's one of the biggest music subscription services in the world. It lets you do, if you pay for, I think if you have to pay for the uppermost of the three subscriptions to get this, but you can play on mobile devices using a native app, and you can download to the phone via this app so that you can use it offline, which is very interesting. There's a really interesting usage model change coming now to mobile devices, including phones, and it's something that you see in Windows Phone 7.5 and on, in iOS 5, where your reliance on the PC, even for media, is diminishing, right? Whereas on iOS 5, you can download now all of the songs you've ever purchased from iTunes, as well as all the TV shows, and you have to think eventually the movies, directly to the devices. So you never have to do that sync with the PC if you don't want to. And likewise, on Windows Phone, using something like Zune Pass or now Spotify, you can gain access to these libraries of music in the cloud. Spotify is nice because you can create these playlists that are saved in the cloud, which I think is particularly excellent. So you can log on to Spotify from any PC using a native app or any mobile device using a native mobile app, and gain access to all of those playlists that you already created, and then, of course, download them to the phone as well if that's what you want to do. So this has been an eagerly awaited app. I would say Audible is probably the only major one that maybe not the only major one, but Audible is probably the big, one we're still dying to see. But it's coming. I keep hearing the same thing. I've never gotten an indication from Microsoft that it wasn't happening. They always say, yeah, we know. It's coming. We'll get there. But Spotify's here now, so that's good news.
Good. I'm going to download it right away on my non-existent phone as soon as... Brett gives it to me, I will get his name right.
Leo asked me, and I quote, to say, Brandy, where's my phone?
Where's my phone, Brandy? Brandy, you're a fine girl. What a good wife you would be. Enterprise pick of the week, Mary Jo Foley.
Yes. So this doubles as an enterprise pick of the week and a rumor of the week as well.
Mm.
So the enterprise pick of the week is Microsoft Commerce Server. And when I wrote about this recently, someone said, they still make that product? They do still make Commerce Server. Question, and in fact, it's Microsoft's e-commerce server. And the latest version just recently was released to manufacturing in September. But why did no one hear about that? Because the rumor is Microsoft is about to sell this product off to someone else. And this is how they're going to get out of being in this business. The rumor is they're going to sell it to a company called Ascentium, which is a Microsoft partner. They own a company called Cactus Software. Cactus Software is a big commerce player. And so the rumor and tip here is if you're a Microsoft Commerce Server customer, Microsoft is not going to be the one doing further releases of this product. It's most likely going to be Ascentium. And Microsoft's going to support the current version through 2014, but then you're going to be handed off to another company. So Commerce Server right now still a Microsoft Enterprise product, but maybe soon it will not be.
Not so crazy rumors.
Yes.
And our code name of the week.
Yes. So I'm doing another code name pick of the week from SQL Azure Labs, which is a part of Microsoft's cloud group that does kind of test products and test programs.
This one sounds like a Dodge SUV.
Yes. The code name is Montego.
Yes.
And if you know Microsoft, they use a lot of geographic place names as code names because their reasoning for that is they're less likely to be sued by anyone or have disputes with people over using those. So, yeah. So just the way that the SQL Azure Labs used Vancouver as a code name that I talked about on the last show, SQL Azure Labs is using Montego. And Montego is the code name for what's called Data Explorer. So if you're somebody who's really into big data and using different data sets off of the Windows Azure Marketplace, you want to figure out how to combine the data sets and identify the data sets and publish the data sets, you might want to go check out this thing, Montego Data Explorer. It's freely downloadable and you can test it out and see It's supposed to basically help people who are developers primarily to figure out what to do with all this data that's amassing out there in the Windows Azure Marketplace and combine it with their own products so that they can either sell it or just use it internally. It's pretty interesting, so I think it's worth a check.
There is actually a Mercury Montego. forwarded me. Yeah, Ford makes a Montego. Hey, that's it for this week of Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott is the editor-in-chief of the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. He's also the news editor for Windows IT Pro and the author of Windows Phone 7 Secrets in bookstores now. Mary Jo Foley blogs about Microsoft every 5 minutes at allaboutmicrosoft.com. We do this show right here every Thursday, 11 a.m. Pacific. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time, 1900 UTC. At twit.tv. You can watch live, but if you miss it, don't worry, or you want to see it again, we make downloads available for free of video and audio at our twit.tv site, or subscribe in iTunes, the Zune Marketplace, everywhere better podcasts are offered for download. I think that's it. Oh, one more thing. Maybe haven't even told you guys this, but no show the week after Christmas. We traditionally take that week off, and we'll do a best of Windows Weekly from the last year, and we want you to help us. So if you go to, actually you can do it with any of the shows. If there's a moment you remember that you love, just go to twit.tv/best of and let us know. The more information you give us, the better, but even if you just give us a hint, that will be helpful to our editors compiling this best of. twit.tv/best of.
We must have 3 to 5 minutes of just...
God knows.
Absolutely compelling content.
It must be something. That's all we need. 3 to 5 minutes. 3 to 5 minutes.
Something.
All
something.
I can think of is Leo planking. That's the only...
Well, that's going to be in there. Oh, I think we can pretty much guarantee that's in there. Yeah.
Actually, I also believe that the build castle made chairs.
Oh, yeah. Paul leaping through the air. Somebody called the radio show. Aaron B., who's a regular in our chat room, called the radio show. And I think it completely went over the head of the entire radio audience. He said, I had this dream that I was watching this show, and they made a castle out of beanbags, and this guy, Paul Thurrott, went flying through the air. And I'm sure the people listening to the radio show said, What? Is he on something?
Exactly.
But those of you who know, know. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Mary Jo. Thank you for joining us. We'll see y'all next week on Windows Weekly.